Good morning. I have to echo what Javen said from this standpoint. I do not know how to not be excited about that last song that we just heard. God asked me to make sure and say that the excitement you're probably about to see is not to make light of someone who might not be feeling the same level of excitement in this moment. It's not to make light of whatever circumstance you may be in or whatever you might be going through. But instead, I felt him say, tell you to be encouraged, to be excited about someone else's excitement, that it's hope. It's something you can confidently expect to compound in your life. So with that, I start out the Case for Grace class every morning saying, I'm more excited than I was last week. I am so flipping excited. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm coming out of my life. And so I know people must think, well, how do you keep saying that? The reason is it keeps getting better. I'm telling you, I don't know how else to say it. It keeps getting better. God, I know he's already as big as he ever can be, and I know he's already as amazing as he can ever be. But for me, he gets bigger and better and bigger and better. Does that make sense? You know what I mean. And so anyway, our lives are meant to be a case for grace. Grace came. That thing that opened up, that song, says something about the price that was paid. I don't need to remember the words. Here's the thing that stood out. My value is based on what someone paid for me. Your value is based on what someone paid for you. And all the universe had was laid down at the cross for you to be reconciled, to be purchased and set free. And so how can I not be excited about that? So I also stay excited because I remember how devastatingly dull and lost and lonely my life was outside of this reality. How deeply hopeless my life was. Deeply hopeless. There was a cycle. You would have looked at my life and said it was great. You would have said, that dude's fired up. He's excited. Things are going his way. It's up and to the right. It looks like this, right? That every time around the merry-go-round, it got more and more devastating and more saddening. So, it went from hopeless to a great adventure, though, right? This is a great adventure. And I thought I'll introduce myself quickly because I know I don't know each of you personally, certainly not those on live stream. But I couldn't help but key on that word great adventure. In fact, this way that we feel, there's one of the greatest teachers on grace, on the finished work of Christ, on unmerited favor, one of the greatest speakers on the globe and teachers. He has a book, in fact. He titles it Pure Grace. His name is Clark Whitten, and I recently heard a teaching of his, and in it, it was so cool. It was just a week ago in Birmingham. You can look it up online. He says, you can't know what I know and not feel what I feel. Now, think about that statement for a second. That's a little bold. That's a little confrontational, right? He didn't mean it that way. If you listen, Clark has a sweet way of getting up in your face and yet doing it with eloquence, and you just can't, you know, you're stunned in a beautiful way. But he'll say to other pastors that he's known for years, they say, I know, I understand. No, you don't. If you knew what I knew, you'd feel the way I feel. And he says, I can say that because of for him, I'm sure, thousands of people that he's seen it over and over again. So we're each uniquely different, but the truth is, you're reconciled and I'm reconciled by the same blood on the cross, by the same daddy that wants you and me, pursued us for intimacy and oneness. That is all this is all about. That's it. Intimacy, oneness, everything you ever dreamed of, fulfilled in that relationship, okay? So he can say that. He's not being arrogant or cultish. In fact, in 2 Timothy, I love, it says, in 2:1, it says, be strong in grace. Paul is saying, be strong in grace. I thought, what does that mean? So you look into the Greek, and it's the original, it's endynamu, okay? I love how Javen always says, I'm not Greek, so I'm not even going to try and pronounce. So, but receive strength. Be strengthened is what that word means, but also its root is in dunamis, which you may have heard is the power of God. It's power, it's dynamite. So it also has meanings of boldness, of even headstrong. So now, Clark's saying, you can't know what I know if you don't feel what I feel. We shouldn't apologize for how great we feel. And for the person I said again here this morning that may not be feeling it, that's okay. Your spirit's getting things your mind and your soul doesn't even get yet. In that same message, Clark said, your receiver goes before your understander. Hallelujah. Okay, so he also goes on, actually prior to that in Timothy, Paul says, guard the treasure I have given you. What treasure is he talking about? This treasure of the finished work of what Christ did, of it being finished, of the miracle of God, Christ and the Father and Christ, and them in me, right? So that thing, he's guard. So if you're guarding it, right? And if you're to be strong in it, it's not better than, it's just, anyway, it's a case for grace. It's the testimony walking on the earth. And in Revelations 12 or 2 or somewhere in there, it says, it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we defeat the enemy, even unto death, right? So let's talk about this great adventure. And I wanted to look at a scripture that uses that word. I'm going to a paraphrase Bible. Quickly, the reason I am, it's the message. Lately, I love reading it because the Bible, I'm using my iPad to represent the Bible because that's where I read it mostly. It was given to me as an instruction book initially of how to behave and how to live and please God. And instead, when I go and read it in the message, I let go of every preconceived notion I've ever had, and I read this poetic love story of the pursuit of the creator of all things, my daddy, pursuing me, right? So join me in 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. I think it's up there, great. Every time I think of you, actually, I want to do what Joseph Prince does and read it up here with you. Every time I think of you, and I think of you often, this is Paul talking, I thank God for your lives of free and open access. Come on, right? To God, given by Jesus. There's no end to what has happened in you. It's beyond speech, beyond knowledge. The evidence of Christ has been clearly verified in your lives. There we go. Just think, you don't need a thing. I hope Javen or Clark or Bill preaches a message on that soon, or you just ponder it and sit and let the Holy Spirit. You don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you. Please remember that with where we're going this morning as you wait expectantly for our Master Jesus to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God himself is right alongside you to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his Son, our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you, never forget that. It is a spiritual adventure. So what do you think of when you think of adventure? Is there anticipation? Is there excitement? Is there hope? Is there every day is new? Is there no matter what's going on? We talked earlier, some of you might be in a place where there's stuff stinky in your life. Unfortunately, some of you are thinking because of my excitement, there's nothing stinky in my life. Au contraire. But in spite of that, it's an adventure. So I don't have to worry about what I'm seeing in the moment. I don't need to fix my eyes on the temporal, on the seen, on the moment. Instead, I can fix my eyes on the unseen, right? So, and the eternal, the promises. So it's a great adventure. And it there said, all his promises, all his gifts are already before us. Did you hear that? Okay, so I didn't say it. The Bible said it. You're going to now have to decide how much you're willing to accept that and agree with that. So, question for you so we can now move forward. My time's up. Would you agree, have you found, that sometimes we can approach a common situation, even a relationship, in the same way over and over again? Kind of get in a pattern, you know what I mean? So I can show up to the house every day at the end of work and show up, kind of start to be in a pattern and just walk in the room and be in a pattern. It doesn't mean it's bad or good, but with that, isn't it possible that we sometimes shut down our receiver a little bit in that particular circumstance? So on Sunday mornings with church, we show up the same way, sometimes grab the same seat, get frustrated when someone else takes your seat, grab your coffee the right way, mix it the same way, sit the same way, get prepared, that whole deal, right? In Ephesians 4, Paul suggests not to become callous like the unbelievers, right? Not to become callous. So here's my invitation to you, and I would ask you consider it before you agree. Just to open with a prayer, but a different kind of prayer, where we're actually saying yes to what God has in store this morning. The great news is you and I both can be confident that God has something for us no matter who the donkey is riding in the message, right? No matter what, every minute it's a great adventure. So there's something for you this morning. There's something for me. The Holy Spirit, I think heaven is vibrating. It says in Romans, all creation groans for the sons and daughters of God to know who they are. I picture literally when walking outside, the blades of grass are going, please know who you are. The butterflies and the bugs, they're like, come on, get it. You carry life. You're the only hope we have. Right? So that anticipation. So with that, if you're willing to accept that, then just to break our pattern, I'm inviting us to, as an act of our will, say yes and use our body to raise our hand and say, yes, I'm in for whatever you have, God. Have you considered it? Okay, then with me right now, as an act of our will, Father, together, we say yes. One more time, God, we say yes to what you have in store for me. And I thank you, Father, with everyone here. I thank you for what you have done, are doing, will do, and continue to do in each of our lives. So with that, I said I'd tell you a little about me. I'm going to do it really quick. David mentioned my wife, so I am a husband as part of who I am and what I am. It just so happens Beth is my best friend. That's a cool way to do it. I've seen people do it where they're not best friends, so that doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. But for us, it's awesome. She also happens to be the person that God used to usher in this finished work message, the freedom, the good news of grace, me coming to know Daddy as Father and God as Daddy, as my Father, and be set free. What that looked like is worth sharing. She was, first of all, raw and real. That's the opening. It's going to end up being part of where we're headed, where we're going today. She was raw and refused to accept anything less than God's best. So she just started crying out to God, yelling at him, cursing at him. I'm not kidding. Pick an expletive. Whatever you want. But I love, now I look back, how cool is it that you can trust your Father so much that you can go, what the flip is going on? I know. So it's the last time I'll be speaking. I said flip, though. But she cried out, and then she ran across a finished work message through Joseph Prince, just on a TV thing or whatever, and she started getting up every morning saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. She'd walk around the house saying it. She'd be doing cleaning, doing it. She, whatever, just saying it out loud constantly. And I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, that's like standing in your garden and go, there are no weeds, there are no weeds, but there are weeds. But I watched transformation. I watched miracles happen, and my encounter overrode my understander. My encounter, I could not deny anymore that is what I had always longed for. And when I had accepted Christ 20, 25 years prior to that happening, that's what I had an anticipation for, that great adventure. And then instantly someone handed me a Bible and said, this is an instruction book. And people started modeling for me what it looks like to behave and perform and hide their fear of admitting that they still are unfulfilled. So, husband, father, three amazing kids, son Jared, 27, daughter-in-law Chelsea, Our son Bryson, 22, and our daughter Emma, each one of them has taught me things. Love being a father, loved every stage and age. I'm a businessman. I love taking this truth that we share into the workplace. I love showing up to those challenges. I love sitting and resting. And I share with Beth that right now I'm realizing I need to learn more and more, and I'm excited about this, how to bring what happens when I'm at war into the most mundane, average things of life. But I can tell you when I'm business and stuff hits the fan, this finished work thing, boom, it shows up. I speak his name. I can be in the boardroom. I can be in a litigation. I can be in, you name it, whatever it is. There can be an insurmountable challenge that we're facing. It's impossible to get here from there. Everyone's in the room going, you can't get there from here. And there's just this peace that comes over me from the repetition of this reality. So I'm also a thinker. That's for another day. So enough about that. To simplify my journey, I'll simply say it's not unlike so many people here. There was a hole in my soul. I was unfulfilled. So now I'm in my 20s. I'm just distraught over this lack of fulfillment. Someone introduces me to Jesus. I go, yes. I feel this amazing joy and hope and possibility of this relationship, but it's so foreign, and so I want to cling to something, and people go, here. This instruction book, this Bible, will tell you what to think, how to behave, what to do. And as I said, I wake up 20 years later, unfulfilled, around a bunch of other unfulfilled people. None of us want to admit it. In fact, the stakes are too high now, aren't they? Because once it's God, what else is there? So I couldn't admit that it wasn't working. I was too afraid to admit that it wasn't working. And we were all chasing after something. Life was about when I finally get there. By the way, I know I need to speak this, and it's not in my time or schedule or notes, but you, stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, worker, boss, business owner, whatever you are, whatever other than worship leader, pastor, missionary, please know that it breaks God's heart when I'm with businessmen and ask them about what they do, and they say, or businesswomen, whatever, and they say, well, you know, right now I'm doing this, building my business, but hopefully I can build it so one day I can really serve God. Oh, that's so sad. You're waiting your whole life. It's just a lie. It's a lie. It's not part of the dance that you and Daddy get to do together. So but then after those 20 years in Christianity, two things happened. One was a silly little exercise that actually involves sitting down, so I'll represent it for a moment. Actually, in a moment, I'm going to use that chair over here to mean something. So it'll mean something to your spirit. Doesn't matter whether you get it or not. That's okay. Be bold. Guard this thing. Be strong in grace. So it involves sitting down and having people I trusted and cared about challenge me to share everything I was mad about and get me to get mad, which I didn't know how. I knew how to get mad to fight at something, defend something, and even that I would feel guilty about, right? But I knew how to rage. But this was, would I admit what I was mad about? And it took over 2 hours of sitting in the chair with them, screaming at me. I mean, it sounds like a, intervention, whatever. There was they had me holding a rag. It was wet and throwing it on the ground. My body had to get engaged to take my mind, my will, and my emotion, my soul, and have it surrendered to what my spirit was longing to get out, what I was feeling, my heart, allow my heart to speak. And by the end of the 2 hours, I'm railing, I'm everything. It's stirring up from childhood, from coaches that let me down, this and that, and father wounds, and blah, 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 until I go from mad to weeping. And I say out loud to no one, just out loud, oh, man. I say, God, I don't trust you. And I heard, not here, but I heard him say, finally, we can talk. And my life changed that moment. I didn't really know it then. I still had the same patterns. I still had the same habits, right? I still had the same instruction book. So it's not like all at once. But the second thing that I told you about was what happened with watching my wife and being introduced to the God of the universe as my daddy. And coming to accept, I am his son. Do you remember, in fact, Javen referenced it recently, the movie Prince of Egypt? It was a cartoon about Moses, right? That's the one, yeah. what I love about it is there's a scene where they're young teenagers or maybe young 20s, Moses and Ramesses II, the son, and they're riding the chariots through the palace, like inside, right? And you can play that out in your mind. You can picture they played hide and seek. They went behind the throne of Pharaoh and they're hiding. They took the swords of the famous warriors of the past and did sword fighting. They did whatever they wanted. Why? Pharaoh's my daddy. This is my house, yo. Right? They were like free in their daddy's house. That's what I was introduced to. And that I just share it for context. So the Psalm 32 in the Message is really good. So good, I encourage you to go visit it. In the interest of time, we'll skip it. It just defines what I just described. It's a part where in the Message it said, I made a clean breast of my failures to God. It says, when I didn't, my life was groans. The juices of my life dried up. Then I let it all out. I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. And suddenly the pressure was gone. The guilt was gone. My sin dissolved. So it's worth going back and reading the whole thing. But okay, so Christ did it all. It is finished. There's nothing more to be done. And we get to rest in him. His promises, which earlier we were told they're already before us, right? So we are meant to enjoy a full and reigning life. I didn't say it, he did. In fact, in Romans 5:17, I love it in the New Century Version, it's cool in all versions, but it says one man sinned, right? We know who that was, Adam, okay? And so death ruled all people, but but now those people who accept God's full grace and the great gift of being made right with him, righteous, will surely have true life and rule or reign, other versions say, through the one man, Jesus. So you are, as a son of the king, daughter of the king, a king over your domain. You are meant to rule. All creation is groaning and hoping and excited. If you walk in, they know. Creation knows if you know who you are. Okay? So we get to apply those truths. He says things like, let your heart not be troubled. There's a place where John is speaking over Gaius, a blessing, and he says, I pray that you may be prosper in all things, all, and have good health, even as your soul prospers. So we're going to talk about, as we do in the Case for Grace class that Javen talked about each week at 9:30, what it looks like for your soul to prosper. If I'm a case for grace, then my mind, my will, and my emotions has the promise and the opportunity to come into alignment with his truth. And the more I do, the more I'll realize what is already mine. The more you will realize and appreciate and manifest for others what wants to emerge. So the title of the message today, we should get to it before we close, as we wrap up. It had to hold, though. There had to be some context. The title is simply, does it matter where I am from? Does it matter where you are from? Okay, and you're probably asking yourself, what do I mean, where are you from? Well, let's model the fact that there are two places. One here, and one here, okay? And one of them, this one, will represent the kingdom of this world, okay? The kingdom of this world where God said the enemy does have dominion and authority, not over those of us who have said yes to Christ. Christ defeated him. It is finished. But on this earth, he has some authority, right? This is the tangible, the scene. It's chronos. Meaning everything goes in time and in order and there are laws of nature and all that kind of stuff, right? This is that kingdom. And then there's the kingdom of God, right? In oneness with the Father, abiding in him, okay? And here, there's unlimited supply. So another metaphor for you when I come over here is to imagine the tree of life, which God said to Adam and Eve, eat of it freely. And the implication there is unlimited resources. There are unlimited resources. all you want. All your needs are supplied in the riches of Christ Jesus. There it is, okay? Over here, it's what do I need to do to get what I want? Right? So this kingdom is about what you do. There's only so much to go around. For Oscar to have more means I have less, right? That's the way it is, whether we admit it or not. There's a judgment. There's a fear. There's guilt. There's shame. There's condemnation. There's all that stuff, right? So tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which involves me taking the apple to figure it out. I need to know. I need control. Here's needing control. Here is surrender. What has been done for me? They are paradigms, each of them. Paradigms are a way of thinking, usually shaped and molded by someone else, by a pre-existing habit in culture, okay? So there is a pre-existing culture in the kingdom of heaven, and you are a citizen of that kingdom as soon as you said yes to Jesus. Whether you recognize it or not, all the time, and sometimes you don't, probably, like me. You inhabit this earth. You have a green card. You're a legal alien. It's all cool, okay? Right? You get to come and go as you please, so on and so forth. You get certain privileges as a legal alien here, but this is your citizenship. You are a card-carrying citizen of heaven with all the authority that comes with, right? So, does it matter where we're from? Does it matter which kingdom I'm thinking from, believing from, operating from in any situation? Do you think it does? Okay, so I'll be transparent instead of putting you on the spot. Most of the time, it's changing day by day. I actually made the mistake of telling Beth, I think it clicked over 50%. To which that opened the door for her to point out all the places where it hasn't, it isn't. So often there are triggers. They were from my childhood. They were societized into me. They were modeled for me. So the trigger comes, my amygdala fires, which is the fight or flight mechanism that says, what do we do? Take control. Let's figure this out. And boom, next thing you know, I wake up, you know, with blood on my mouth, wondering why did I eat that person, you know. Or whatever the case might be, right? That you get that some people are like, well, Herb, at least he's, I don't know, different for this week. So with that, it really does matter. When I'm in those places, I mentioned earlier that there are places where there has been a choice, an active renewing of my mind in business settings where when poop starts to move towards the fan, boom, something shifts. Instead of me going to the amygdala, which is a flesh fight or flight response, it goes to the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex. I like studying that stuff, okay? And that's where wisdom resides. That's where we have references from the past that are different than the information that we're getting in the moment. Looks like, smells like a bear, I'm in trouble. No, he delivered me from the lion. He delivered me from the bear. He said, wait on me and you will rise on wings like eagles. Rest in me. Let me show you the unforced rhythms of grace. Walk with me. Work with me and I'll show you. My burden is easy. My way is light. Since that, we all relate to that, can you think of, for you, situations where a trigger comes and you feel feelings that don't seem to align with his truth and his favor? Anyone? You don't have to raise your hand. Just internally you can. Okay. Or situations where you continue to just either feel hopeless or behave in a way that you know is not his best. Could be a relationship with a loved one, right? Deep down inside you know there's something there and yet there's this cycle that seems to take place. So what do we do? Easy. Keep hiding it. Keep suppressing it. Go to church, serve, medicate, have a glass of wine, watch sports. No. You can enjoy all those things, but you'll enjoy them more when you live making a clean breast of everything to God. He says in, to scroll down quickly, he says in Hebrews, First, that's where he says, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, right? That's where he says, we now don't need anyone. You can walk up to Daddy. Like I said, I saw my wife do and go, what's the deal? Ouch, Daddy, I'm hurting, I'm scared, I don't get it. I can't do this. I don't know how. If I did, I would. My marriage is slipping away. It's getting unintimate. That's not like a hypothetical example. That was happening for me. It was way before it actually happened, but I could feel it happening. Do you know what I mean? And so Daddy, fortunately, I was in this. We were new in this. I was able to go, I do not know how to do this. I'm 18 years into a second marriage, so obviously I do not know how to do this, or didn't. Okay? I can't, you must. And he went, yeah, son, tag me in. Boom. Do you remember tag team wrestling? And for those who can't see on live stream, my wife just went whoop, whoop, just so you know, I did get it right. He did get it right. Okay, so anyway. But in Hebrews also in 10:22, he says, let us draw near with a sincere heart. I had to go look at that. The word sincere in the Greek, again, not Greek. In English, it's pronounced alethinios. And it's that which has not only the name and resemblance of, but the real nature, the corresponding nature. In every respect, it's opposite of what is fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated. So it's the opposite of imperfect, defective. It's the opposite of that place. It's this place, right? It's also to bring into alignment as a verb. In some verses, it uses true instead of sincere. So just quickly, if you look at true just in the English dictionary, it's to bring an object into alignment. True north on a compass is the only north. It's true north. Grace is the only true north in this thing called faith, life, everything, right? So how would we apply it, okay, as we look to bring all this together? Does it really matter where I'm from? I'm aware now there's times where I'm not feeling in alignment. I'm not experiencing the truth or seeing that alignment. I have to do a quick pause and a disclaimer. I love and continue to review Clark and his teachings. Everyone that teaches on grace, Javen, Bill, Joseph Prince, anyone I can find, Andrew Farley, I can go off, but particularly Clark, I continue to have to revisit because he's the voice that reminds me. All the stuff you're about to share, David, in these closing minutes, you don't need them. They don't need him. Christ has got it. Rest in that. Okay, so my disclaimer is you don't need to work at renewing your mind. You get to, but you don't need to. Just sit down and say, I can't. And he goes, got it. He had it already. I just need you to know I've got it, right? But I like looking at King David. We all love to talk about the story where King David, in case you don't know the story, and even if you do, let's remember, there's this big giant, he's deadly, he can kill anyone, no one's willing to face him, and David comes and goes, what is this? He's mocking our God, he's mocking our people. And so he shows up and says, no, right? And what's the famous line he says about the lion, some lion and bear? Anybody? You delivered me from the lion. You delivered me from the bear. You will deliver me from this Philistine. He says, today I will have your head. That's bad booty right there. That's like, okay. So, and he's, you know, a little ruddy dude, they say, or whatever. But see, we love that story, but what we need to do is look at the heart of David and how he lived his life that enabled him to show up knowing, I'm from here. My daddy is in heaven. I represent the kingdom of heaven. So why is it that we saw that, but how did he have that when it was needed? It's because he walked around the palace writing psalms going, Daddy, can I say that here? This is bad. Whatever word you use for really bad, okay? This is no fun. I'm sick. I'm devastated. Kill me. And then flip it. I'm mad, kill my enemy, crush their head, right? He was raw, he was real, and therefore he could trust God, because they shared their hearts They had a real relationship. He could trust them and therefore believe on him. And when he believed on him, they abided together. The life force of the vine flowed through the branch. In John 15, where it talks about abiding, and he is the branch, and we are the vine. He is the vine, we are the branch. It flow, that light, all the branch does is sit there and go, flow, you know, and believe. So I also love the picture of David walking around the palace, literally encouraging himself in the Lord. I picture him doing it, like just walking around going, okay, God, I do not know how we're going to pay for this war. I don't get it. We're running low. The people, if I tax them anymore, they're going to hate me. But you know what, God? You said you supply all my needs and the riches in Christ Jesus. Come on. Wait a minute. Okay. You said you'll never forsake me. You'll never leave me. Okay, right. That's right. That's true. You said that I could rest in you, that I can just wait on you to figure this out. I'm going to go soar on wings like eagles. I picture him literally speaking these truths to himself, right? So there was a renewing of the mind. Again, we can actually lay it at his feet, though. So I want to use a quick example of a scripture. There are so many we can use like that as a go-to. The first thing is the feelings that we saw David admit. So step one is, how many people, either it was implied or you were taught that feelings are not so good? I see hands and heads nodding, okay? I was absolutely taught feelings, it was modeled for me. Feelings are bad, especially, I don't mean to be sexist, but as men, I'm just telling you, you don't know how to feel naturally. You don't. That's not condemning. It's an invitation to, as soon as you realize, you get to go, oh, I can bring that to daddy. That's why awareness is so beautiful. That's what our Case for Grace class is. Did we mention that there's a class at 9:30 here, back in the room here? We explore that. So when you feel, it's not bad. Frustration, how many people think frustration's bad? Be honest. Overwhelm, bad. Guilt, shame, fear, anger, all bad, right? No, you have a new metaphor, if you want, or a new paradigm. It's just an awareness that something is out of alignment and is meant to be in alignment. Thank you for my frustration, Daddy, right now. Let me run and sit down as a citizen of heaven and just first wait and say, Jesus. Just say, under your breath, whatever's going on, go, Jesus. But different than maybe you ever have. If you have to say it a different way, say it, whatever. Jesus, I don't know. or whatever works for you, okay? But then, let's look. Does he really talk about feelings in the Bible? Well, obviously with David he did. Now, the other one is in Philippians 4. I don't have it up for a reason. I just want to walk through it as a way to use it, okay? So he says first, rejoice. And then he says, I'll say it again, rejoice. To me, that's remember your joy. So some of you, we said this morning, came in not feeling excited and joy. He's going, okay, remember when you were joyful. If that doesn't work, look at someone else that's joyful and know that it's possible. Rejoice. And then again, rejoice. Then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And that word gentleness actually also means let your non-self focus be evident to all. In other words, you're so covered as a citizen of heaven, you don't even need to think about you, worry about you. You can now be others focused and see what wants to be seen, hear what wants to be heard, speak what wants to be spoken, hug what wants to be hugged. You're right, you're just in the flow. And it goes on to say the Lord is near. He's right here with you. Okay, cool. But we don't want to be fake and move on. We still are sitting there going, yes, but in that situation, something triggers and I end up with blood all over my mouth. that example you didn't understand before either, which I still don't know why I used it. So he goes on to say, okay, do not be anxious about anything. He's not saying don't as a command. He's saying, hey, I know you have feelings. So instead of having those feelings, bring them to me. Let's talk, which the word pray in this case, he's saying, bring with prayer and petitions, bring it to me, share it with me, and do it with thanksgiving. Is he saying you should be thankful, you dirty sinner that was saved, once lost and now saved? No, he's saying be thankful that I've got it. It's already handled. So with thanksgiving that what you brought to him is already handled, and then this peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind. And so then with all that covered, he says, now take your seat again. He goes, so finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. So we read that. I read that for years and years and years and years and years and years with never once pausing to go, okay, what's true in my life? What's pure? What's lovely? What's admirable? What's excellent? What's praiseworthy? You start remembering those things instead of when I stand here trying to figure out, I go, what is not lovely? What stinks? What is bad? What could get worse? Where is this headed? If this keeps going, imagine what happens then. Right? So we do it anyway. Why not do it as a citizen of heaven? Where you're from matters. Which paradigm you're operating from matters. So with that, it's more than just something that someone might be there doing what I used to do with my knower, my gnosis knower instead of my epinosis knower, my understander versus my receiver. You may be going, okay, cool, you took Philippians 4, you used it in a way that works for you to make your message and your story. Let's look at exactly what it says about this. And for me, this is the motivation for a case for grace, to constantly look at grace as a case that was won for us and that how my life is meant to work that out. It's John 6:29. The disciples are gathered with Jesus, and they say, what are the works of the Lord? What is it to do the work of the Lord? I mean, let's get down to it here. Okay, you're here, you're saved, it rocks, it's awesome. I mean, we can only feast for so long on this thing, right? We got to get up, let's go, let's do something. What should I do? What are the works of the Lord? And Jesus says, simply, it is to believe on the one that he sent. Okay, now remember that for a second. That's it, just to believe on him. Yes, but I don't only want to do that. I want to be of strong faith. And Javen covered this so awesomely recently. Look, forget the faith thing, okay? He's my measure of faith. If it was up to me for faith, I'm done, I'm cooked, wouldn't work, okay? And it didn't work. I tried it. But I can believe on him and let him build my faith, right? And give me the measure of faith. And then, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, after referencing wherever it is in the Old Testament, in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about, oh death, where is your sting? And he goes back and quotes one of the old prophets or Isaiah or someone like that talking about the sting of death. And it goes on to say, the sting of death is sin. We've all experienced sin in our life and the sting of that, you know, that thing. So I think of it like a scorpion. The sting of death, the stinger, is sin of the scorpion. The power of that sin, the poison in it, is the law. It's that thing that wants to say, you failed, you're not good enough, you can't do it. It's this kingdom. It's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, okay? And so it's the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the victory already over that, okay? But now watch what he says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. These are invitations, not commands, okay? Nothing in this love story, once you accept Christ, is an instruction or a command. It's an invitation. He's saying, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What was the work of the Lord? What did Jesus say it was? To believe on the one he sent. That's it. And, okay, all right, I'm going to believe on him. And now what do I do? What scripture do I speak? What demon do I cast out? Where do I go serve? What mission do I do? What this? What that? No, believe on the one that he sent, and then he can flow through you. It says your toil is not in vain. This is the same guy in the same book that said, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. And yet he's talking about toil, because he knew of the topic we were going to talk about right here today. It is a toil sometimes to remember your citizenship while you're living here on this earth for light and momentary periods, okay, or the period that we're here. And there are light and momentary troubles. Good news is they're light and momentary. And by the way, when you choose to live this reality more and more, as I know Many of you are, many of you are more, many of you will more, whatever, all that stuff. I'm not saying it like it's chronos or anything, like it's a place you have to get to. As it just continues to be true, the troubles are even lighter and more momentary. So it is a toil to believe on him. It meaning it's a work. It's something worth working at. And so we opened up by saying it just keeps getting better. I really shared, it just keeps getting better. So it gets better when I remember where I'm from. Wouldn't you imagine that those places where you're not experiencing the fullness that you, the alignment with heaven that you were hoping for, if those things right now, this morning, all of a sudden changed, what would your life be like 3 years from now, 5 years from now? How much better if the few areas that really stink didn't stink anymore? Right? It'd be phenomenal, wouldn't it? And then what if everything could? Well, that's the invitation. So all I'm saying is it gets better and it gets better and it gets better the more we remember who we are and whose we are and where we're from. So I'm just going to say, Daddy, thank you. And I'm so thankful for our worship team, for everything everyone does in this church, for everyone being storytellers in whatever way God has invited you to do that, instead of to serve, to tell your story through your participation. And with that, I'm excited that it's no accident, it wasn't planned, but the closing out with we're no longer slaves just reminds me how free we truly are. So thank you, worship team, and thank you, God. Amen.